Welcome back, new talkers, to the Bob Davis Podcast. This is Podcast 648. We are live in the Entertainment District of downtown Minneapolis on a perfect summer Friday night. This is Hennepin Avenue, from 12th Street all the way down to Washington Avenue. When you get down to Washington Avenue, you're in what used to be called the Gateway District, and this is the source. This is the mother lode of all of the urban renewal projects that have taken place downtown over the last nearly 100 years. Lots of questions lately about the safety of this street after dark, particularly after 10 or 11 at night, and whether downtown Minneapolis is safe at all these days. We're going to talk about it live from Hennepin Avenue in Podcast 648. Yeah, you're going to be hearing a lot of music from various party buses as we walk down Hennepin Avenue tonight. I got to mention that if you're listening to this podcast before 29th of July, you should save that date, July 29th, because that is the date of the Minnesota 5th District and Young Republicans Pub Crawl. You can get tickets now by clicking on that banner at the top of the BobDavisPodcasts.com or visiting mngopcd5.org. We just put the banner up. This is Saturday, July 29th, riding the party bus. Six locations, specials at every stop, and more. This is going to be a date to remember. They're going to have a lot of fun. They're going to go from Lynn Lake Brewery to Psycho Susie's and many, many more stops. Lots of crawling options from $18 to $38, including the Night Train Party Bus. It's a pretty good deal, so check it out. All you have to do is click on that banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. You'll see it. It says save the date, July 29th, for the Minnesota 5th District and Young Republicans Pub Crawl, which is what a lot of people are doing tonight. And, of course, Podcast 648 is sponsored by Ryan Plumbing and Heating over on the St. Paul side of the river. They want to be represented, of course. Ryan Plumbing and Heating has been there for generations when it comes to keeping all of your plumbing and heating and air conditioning systems up and running. You want reliable service, especially for emergencies, and that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. They hit both sides of the river and the suburbs, too. On the Minneapolis side, you can call 612-927-6488. In St. Paul, 651-224-4771. Online at ryanplumbing.com. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Don't forget, again, for emergency service, Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. They're going to fix it right. Ryan Plumbing and Heating at ryanplumbing.com. Well, it's been a story here in Minneapolis for 100 years. It's also been a story in most major cities in the United States for at least 100 years. The crisis in the American city, whether it is old industrial cities like Pittsburgh and Cleveland and Chicago and Detroit, financial, business centers like New York City, every generation touts some kind of renewal effort, whether you want to talk about the mega projects of Robert Moses, including demolitions of poor neighborhoods and building ultra-modern public housing, to Mayor Daley-style freeways and toll roads, which bulldozed entire middle-class black neighborhoods in Chicago. Now it's the younger city's turn. And by that, I mean cities that, sort of were constituted in the late 1850s, early 60s, and 1870s in the United States and later. I would call them aging so-called modern cities like Minneapolis, Los Angeles, Portland, Denver, Seattle, even Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Memphis and Nashville are borrowing and spending and bonding huge sums of taxpayer dollars distributed by shadowy boards and unelected boards of suzerains, all to create public-private spaces in their downtowns featuring all sorts of things and following century-old developmental templates for cities. And so the pattern is to get funding from various sources, demolish Then you do federal and state funding behind it, tax increment subsidies, government buildings, public-private partnerships. All of this is designed to wipe away the old and dirty and nasty and create those features that people seem to want: amenities of major cities, shopping and farmers markets with Tony shops, light rail combined with mixed-use condominiums and so-called affordable housing, coffee places, clubs and hipster art districts. And with this, you always get the political fights, and that includes stuff, you know, these days it's all bikeways, arguments about bikeways and sharrows in Minneapolis, safe spaces, minimum wage, and regentrification. You see this in San Francisco, you see it in Seattle, you see it in Portland, you see it in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Now, here in Minneapolis recently, a so-called counterculture publication, The City Pages, ran a piece with the headline, I gotta check my paper here, "A Town Turned Mean, What Happened to Downtown Minneapolis?" Well, this is a surprise, actually, coming from a source like The City Pages, which was originally focused on the Minneapolis music scene. And again, I'm talking pretty much about Minneapolis for lots of reasons. St. Paul's a much older city, and a lot of the music scene and everything else that happened in the late 80s and early 90s really was happening in Minneapolis. The City Pages is famous for hit pieces on Republican politicians, reviews about local art projects, and cheeky articles about the local hipster bar scene. The City Pages is something that we call an alt-weekly. This is something called an alternative weekly newspaper, which is pretty much pioneered by the famous Village Voice in New York. These days, the City Pages is owned by the Star Tribune. And the Star Tribune, of course, the biggest downtown booster through history. That's why it is such a surprise that a story entitled "A Town Turned Mean, What Happened to Downtown Minneapolis," written by Corey Zarowski, a staff writer for City Pages, was a surprise. Chief source for this article is a walk down Hennepin Avenue, like we're doing right now, although we're doing it by ourselves. Corey Zarowski, the writer of this article, did it with Minneapolis police officer Corey Schmidt, a self-admitted small-town boy from Redwood Falls, Minnesota, who was enthralled with downtown Minneapolis and Block E when he came here on a party bus 30 years ago. Another source in the article is Steve Kramer, the current head of the downtown council, affiliated in some hard-to-determine manner with the Minneapolis Chamber of Commerce and others. By the way, the downtown council isn't an elected board. There are, you know, a lot of people on the downtown council, a lot of people on the board of directors of the downtown council corporation, and so on. Another source in the story, Joan Vorderbruggen, was or is the director of public art for the trust that operates the Orpheum Theater, which was famously moved three blocks, and it costs millions and millions of dollars to do that. Another quote in the story is John Sweeney, who owns the Brave New Workshop. Historian and author Larry Millett, and a host of other people identified and unidentified, or identified only by first name, and telling various stories about violence and trouble in downtown Minneapolis. All of these sources say the same thing. They all say downtown Minneapolis, and specifically Hennepin Avenue, isn't safe anymore. Whether we're talking about boorish behavior, which is basically catcalls and yelling at people, to robberies and assaults and shootings, these things, despite reports that crime is down in downtown Minneapolis, have got people in the Minneapolis city and suburbs upset again about the perennially unsafe and unsavory Hennepin Avenue and downtown entertainment districts of the nitty-gritty northern city, and we've got to do something. So City Pages wrote an article about it, and it's been followed up by a commentary entitled "The City Turned Mean." Oh no, that was the other one. The second commentary that followed the City Turned Mean piece is entitled 17 Years of Watching Downtown Minneapolis Go From Vibrant to Shaky to Frightful." The writer of this piece is Carter Averbeck, who is also the owner of a classic antique store in uptown Minneapolis, another entertainment and residential district in the city, and it laments the loss of the Holidazzle parade and retail in downtown Minneapolis and everything else. So The result of this is it makes you wonder what is going on. It's a mayoral election year in Minneapolis, so it's not surprising that concerns about crime have surfaced, concerns about police have surfaced, and that articles are being written in various spots. By the way, very quickly, if you look at MinnPost or search the Star Tribune, you're going to see articles that attempt to refute some of the things that Corey said in the City Pages article. This spring, the Downtown Council wrote a letter to Mayor Betsy Hodges highlighting the safety and crime issues downtown. It's one of the, probably one of the triggers for the City Pages article. In March and April, the Downtown Council funded extra police officers on Hennepin, and the mayor announced an effort to make the area safer. It's one of many, many efforts over the years. And so, there are two things I want to accomplish in this podcast in the short time that we have together. First of all, little tour of Hennepin Avenue. We're on it. You'll hear it in the background. Much of the music that you're hearing is actually coming from party buses and cars till we get down by the Gay 90s, which is always thumping. But I want to give you a little history and flavor of this street, Hennepin Avenue. And I'm just going to say this. So I'm walking up and down Hennepin Avenue. It's not demonstrably different, except for a few geographic landmarks, from walking down this street in the 80s, okay? And I have walked down this street many, many, many times during the many years I've lived in Minneapolis, in various neighborhoods in Minneapolis. And then the second thing is to try to advance the story a little because, and I don't know whether it was by design or whether it just, you know, you can only do so much in one article. The City Pages articles, and honestly, a lot of articles written in the media and stuff on television simply do not address the amount of taxpayer dollars that have been spent, are being spent today and over the years to supposedly revitalize downtown and make these issues with boorish behavior and crime and everything else, yesterday's news, and turn downtown Minneapolis and the entertainment district into this amazing place called Disneyland. So we're going to talk about that, and I'll try to give you some more information than just talking about or even retelling, you know, these apocalyptic stories of crime in downtown Minneapolis, because we've all heard them. Well, you guys have heard me talk about the great motorcycle products and accessories company, especially lighting options and solutions, but they also make foot pegs and they make great device holders for your motorcycle. Go to Ciro3D.com right now and sign up to get your catalog, which really is going to be a collector's item because this catalog is an amazing piece of work from Ciro3D.com. Once again, check them out online at Ciro3D.com. We will see them in Sturgis. They'll be at the Rapid City. It's in Rapid City right before you get to the turnoff for Sturgis. Obviously, it's the Black Hills Harley dealership. They have lots and lots of stuff going on there. Look for the big green Ciro3D truck, and I'll tell you more about it when we get closer to Sturgis.
Yeah, okay.
So as we're walking down Hennepin here in Minneapolis, beautiful Friday night, summertime. I was talking about the City Pages articles about downtown turning mean. Again, much of the writing in the City Pages stuff is focused on Hennepin Avenue, the so-called Gateway District, the Warehouse District, which is now renamed the North Loop, and Nicollet Avenue, which of course is Nicollet Mall from about 1965 on. So one of the things they do when they renew these areas in Minneapolis is they either tear everything down so you can't tell where it was or what was there, and then they rename it. And they've been doing this going back to the mid to late 1800s. The area at the foot of the Hennepin Avenue Bridge down there used to be called Bridge Square. Now, this was the commercial and governmental center of downtown Minneapolis, such as it was. I feel the need to point out for people that don't know, there were two or three shopping districts in Minneapolis and St. Paul back in the day. And I'm not going to go back as far as 1890s, but Broadway on the north side was one of the busiest and probably the busiest shopping district in Minneapolis. That's where everyone lived on the north side, and that is where all the car dealerships were, and that is where all the shopping centers were and everything else prior to the building of malls and things like that. So if we were to go back into the 40s and 50s, that's where the laborers lived, that's where the working people lived, that's where the soul of the city of Minneapolis lived, the north side. Another sort of little shopping area was Uptown. And then there was another shopping area called the Midway over along University Avenue on the St. Paul side all the way down to the Capitol, which was another place where there were a lot of car dealers and retail and things like that. And then, of course, you know, there were shopping centers and places outside of town. But downtown Minneapolis was warehousing and business and, you know, grain cooperatives and grain storage and light industry, and it really was never what I would call a big commercial center. Certainly Hennepin Avenue had its share, and you'll see if you look at the old pictures of commercial business and hotels and things like that. But, you know, people need to understand that there were other parts of town that were probably busier at various times in history than downtown Minneapolis. And the part of the myth is they want us to believe that downtown Minneapolis, this part of town right here, was this amazing commercial district at one time. It really never was. Most people lived in St. Paul or on the north side. And then, of course, Uptown was another part of town where there are a lot of stores and things of that nature, although nothing like the north side and Broadway and places like that, Central Avenue. But anyway, City Hall and the courthouse were located down here, right about two blocks from where I'm standing right now, where the new Minneapolis Library is today. It was renamed the Gateway District. At the turn of the century, they built, you know, they changed things around and they moved City Hall and they renamed it the Gateway District and built this Gateway Memorial and everything else. This is where the Great Northern Depot was, and also the Milwaukee Road built a beautiful train station there on the river, just about where the federal building is. So aside from the train station and the depot, the Nicollet Hotel was also down here, about over here where the library is. The Nicollet was a showplace hotel, so this is all part of this first renewal effort, which was followed again by another renewal effort during the Depression, the Works Progress Administration, and so forth, you know, stimulus spending, brought the construction of that massive post office down there and something called Pioneer Square. So a lot of histories gloss over urban renewal efforts in, you know, the time before the 1950s. And then, of course, in 1955, the Downtown Council was created, and this whole effort to renew downtown Minneapolis began. And in 1960, 59 and 60, several blocks of buildings on Hennepin Avenue and an area known as the Gateway District were demolished. Why did they do that? Well, they demolished those buildings, which were largely unsupported brick buildings with you know, 2x4 and chicken wire construction. They were flop houses because the Gateway had become a cesspool of drunks and bums and stand-up bars, two-bit steakhouses and flop houses going all the way up to the famous Block E. And people came to town and they were shocked by what was going on down there in the Gateway District. Now, if you want to see what it was like, I have placed a link on the blog to TPT and another website which features several of these videos that people have done over the years. Probably the best known is a guy named Minneapolis Rex, a.k.a. Johnny Basich, I think is how you say it, Basich, who has passed away but still has the all-time best documentary film about the decay in downtown Minneapolis. And just to tell you a little bit about that film, he had a bar down there, and there were a number of these people. He got himself an 16 millimeter camera, and he felt that somebody should document these bums that were down there because they were such characters. And one of the classic things that you'll see in that film is one of the guys was so pickled that he never wore shoes, even when it was 14 below zero outside. And Johnny actually got film of this guy standing out in front of the bar with no shoes. These guys were all railroad workers, Gandy dancers and laborers on the railroad, and they would work all summer. And then during the winter, they would hole up in these hotels, which he also owned above the bar and along that street, and they would just drink. And they would drink at the bar, and they would drink in these flop houses, and occasionally they eat in the, you know, the steak parlors and things like that. It was not a good situation in downtown. There's a classic picture of the Gateway District with its turn of the century, you know, curved monuments and statues. And, you know, on the ground are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Muscatel bottles and vodka bottles and everything else. So they felt that they had to do something. And so this is probably the best known renewal effort in Minneapolis. This is something that in classic Minneapolis problem-solving fashion, they just tore everything down and they rebuilt it under some kind of plan. And this one was... I don't even remember what they called this, but this was the Gateway District redevelopment. They built the towers. They built that Northwestern Insurance Building, which is an architectural masterpiece, and they built that Pioneer Square Park. And over the years, like I said, it's been called Bridge District, the Gateway District, and then down the street, back toward the west, is Block E, which is now called Mayo Square. So I'm turning around and I'm orienting to you. I'm down by Gay 90s. Over there, down there, is Block E. It's now called Mayo Square or Downtown West. See, they rename everything. And of course, they spend hundreds of millions, really billions, of taxpayer dollars through various schemes over the years and through various interlocking public-private partnerships and various kinds of grants and subsidies and direct payments and so forth, whether it is called downtown redevelopment, public-private partnerships, as I mentioned, tax increment financing, state and federal aid, corporate tax breaks, light rail and transportation and affordable housing subsidies and so forth. So, from the early 60s on, when the Gateway District was demolished, to the mid-80s, the punk heyday of bars like Moby's, right down the street from where I'm standing at the time, and the formative years for Uncle Sam's, which used to be the Greyhound bus station, which eventually became First Avenue, to actually demolishing Block E in 1987, the way they demolished the Gateway District. Whether it is building of Target Center, which was supposedly going to bring back the whole area. And then from 1988 to 2001, the whole block, Block E, was a parking lot. And you'll recall they eventually moved the Orpheum, and then that sat empty for a long time. And they built this thing called Block E, which was an enclosed mall. This company came in from Chicago to develop Block E. They had a Cold Stone Creamery in there and a movie theater and some other stuff, and it turned into a... It was a massive fail, basically. So now we're back to square one, once again, in downtown. So now we're talking about doing what they're doing, which is rebuilding the Target Center and the arrival of the Mayo Sports Medicine Clinic, because no other businesses were going to go in there. So it's a public-private partnership, the Mayo Clinic, and by the way, the largest employer in the state of Minnesota, and also... an organization that the state of Minnesota granted billions of dollars in tax credits for new facilities and development in Rochester so they can treat Saudi Arabians. And in return, of course, welcome to Mayo Square downtown for sports medicine, right? So the hundreds of millions that have been spent on the Twin Stadium and efforts to bring light rail downtown, and, of course, $1.5 billion spent for the Viking Stadium and the park, which is additional, which is still bilking taxpayers, the park that's near the stadium. And good luck trying to research who funded what and how much it was and who spent what and whether or not they got anything out of it. Because, you know, the way that this whole thing works is that funding is processed through all these different interlocking agencies, and they take $1 million here and $2 million there and $3 million there and $15 million there, and some of it is, you know, agglomerated over the years. So it's very, very difficult to figure out what they're doing and how much it's actually costing. And I guess the question really is, despite all of this, and I think this is the thing that the City Pages stories miss, and it's the thing that the Star Tribune stories always miss, and it's the thing that the MinPost stories always miss, because they report on this stuff separate, but they don't combine it with the question of, has it changed the nature of Hennepin Avenue, and the question of safety in the entire downtown area? Because we've all heard the stories. I have stories lately from people I know who live downtown and say it's dangerous. You know, we could tell those stories, I guess. But it's also about the changes wrought by the same kinds of development in different parts of town where they've tried to do the same thing. And then there's the solid growth in the suburbs, where the fact is that whatever you think you know about millennials, the truth is that they don't want to live someplace where they can't raise their kids with a yard and decent schools and a place to walk the dog. So they're moving to the suburbs. Now, millennials might enjoy drinking craft whiskey out of mason jars or going to the CC Club up on whatever it is, 26th, vaping at a dive bar. But the best part is being able to Uber back to Burnsville and Coon Rapids and Brooklyn Park and St. Louis Park and Hopkins and Crystal and Maple Grove and so on. The suburbs, where life is good, as it has always been, where you have a yard and you have a place to walk the dog in peace. So here's the thing about Hennepin Avenue, and you're going to hear some people down here shortly talking about what it's like down here and what they think. If you're in your 60s and you've come down here for a play and you're dressed to the nines, expect to be hassled by people on your way to your car. Better Uber and have the Uber just pick you up. You're going to see vulgarities, you're going to hear vulgarities, and if it's after 11 o'clock, it's a different world from what it was at 8 p.m. when you went into the show. But that's why punks loved it in the early 80s. It's what gives this part of Minneapolis its charm in some ways. Will it ever get fixed? You know, like they fixed the north side of Chicago, supposedly, or Michigan Avenue, or, any of the new districts that they've renamed in all these major cities that have new Tony names, like West Hollywood and, Newtown and things like that. Well, how much do you want to spend to revitalize downtown? And how much of that is malinvestment? You know, and what about additional taxes as well? Can you afford a $12 hamburger and a $7 beer? And that's actually being generous. Can you afford $200 to take your girlfriend out for dinner? Because additional taxes, levies, bonds, and the control of downtown by shadow organizations, legally, of course, run by these mega boards of the most prominent citizens of the city and the state. They all have their University of Minnesota pedigrees and impeccable progressive credentials. But the greater question is, what do we have cities for? And this is the question that's not being asked. What do we expect them to be in the mid-21st century? And does that make sense? And how much do we have to be able to continue to pay for improvements year after year to be able to come down here for a single baseball game or a couple of football games or a couple of basketball games twice a year to be accosted and deal with the gauntlet that happens when you walk down Hennepin Avenue in any era in the history of this city? Buy a condo downtown? You want to live downtown? Well, here's the thing. Do you have $300,000-$400,000? If you want to rent and you say, I don't want to buy, I'm going to rent, it's there $2,500 a month generally, and that's cheap, plus parking and amenities. So, you got to have a place to park your car. That's $400-$500 a month. What can you get for $3,500 or $3,000 in Maple Grove or Osseo or St. Louis Park or Hopkins or Golden Valley? Even a house is cheaper. A big house is cheaper in places like that when it comes to the loan, $3,000 or $4,000 a month than anything that you would encounter in downtown. What about building a business downtown? You got a $15 minimum wage. You've got leave. You got city regulations up the yin yang. What about retail downtown? Well, here's the thing. Why should I go downtown, pay extra sales tax, or walk down the street even if I live downtown and buy a print cartridge or a box of paper towels when I can order it from Amazon and get it within the hour and pay $10 or $20 less than if I go down to the Target downtown? I mean, and the answer is there's something wrong with Amazon buying a grocery store, or there's something, Amazon's a monopoly. Well, there's a reason why Amazon's a monopoly, and this is it, that you're paying enormous amounts of taxes for all sorts of things to pay for all of these beautiful amenities in downtown Minneapolis. And nobody is asking the question, are people going to be living and working in downtown Minneapolis in 50 years? Why? Why would they do that? When are we going to see the articles and investigative pieces that detail, forensic, accounting-wise, the tax dollars that have been spent on downtown and how relatives of public officials have been benefited by this or alleged to have benefited by this? I doubt if any publication owned by the Star Tribune or anybody controlled by those wired into the con, and that's exactly what it is in downtown Minneapolis. And it has nothing to do with crime, because the crime is the con, too, because every election year, the crime issue comes back up again. You've got these people down here with impeccable progressive credentials that just can't seem, despite all of their long experience in the public and private sphere, to fix these problems. You know, it's very doubtful that those kinds of people would allow themselves to be exposed to complex and damning exposés in any publication. I just want to say kudos to Corey Zarowski of the City Pages for writing a great piece about the state of Hennepin Avenue. It certainly isn't anything new, but it should be talked about. He's already being tut-tutted by MinnPost and various Star Tribune writers for being alarmists, basically downtown council organs and people who know which side of the street their bread is buttered on. But the real story is essentially what is legal corruption that allows them to continue spending an enormous amount of your money on creating the perfect downtown, the Disneyland that will never be. Which is fine, because there's always going to be another progressive renewal project on the horizon. Let's redo Nicollet. Oh, that's right, they're doing that. Let's build another train line. Oh, that's right, they're doing that. Let's build some more stadiums. Oh, that's right, they're already doing that, and so forth. The biggest con in the conning business, and we keep buying it year after year, because someday downtown is gonna be great. And what do the people down here think?
I'm from the Midwest.
But you're not from here?
No, I'm not from Minneapolis. Okay. No, I've been to Minneapolis, St. Paul numerous times. I have family out here.
All right, so this doesn't strike you as being unsafe?
I haven't felt unsafe here at all. I mean, that's a larger city, too, as you have it's a confluence of culture, which I appreciate. You see all kinds of people of every walks of life, and I think that makes it more safe just overall, because there's so many different people from all different areas.
Yeah.
What is there, like, a recent upswing in crime, or was that what the City Pages said?
You know, I'm kind of shocked, to be quite honest with you, that they wrote this article, because of all the things City Pages running this is very odd to me. I'm not quite sure what... I'm wondering whether there's a political thing going on between the challengers to the current mayor and the downtown council.
I've been surprised with the police presence tonight.
Yeah.
In the past couple days. I feel very safe.
Yeah.
I walked downtown to the river, to the, the island. It felt very safe. There were cops patrolling right next to the river. There were cops in units. There were cops walking down the street. There were cops standing posted up against buildings.
So do you feel safe down here?
JB, my mans want to know if I feel safe down here.
Do you feel safe down here?
Do you feel safe? I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
That's why I asked this guy.
Just hold on a second.
He's the one holding the mic. He can ask the question.
Well, I feel safe.
I like you. What's your name, man?
Bob.
Bob. Bob wants to know if New York, a.k.a. Tay, friend JB,
he's Minneapolis.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Are you
safe.
From New York?
I'm from New York. I'm from Brooklyn.
Okay.
You know why I feel safe out here?
Why do you feel safe?
I feel safe because there's so much money down here that nobody needs none. And when nobody needs none, that means there needs to be no gunplay.
So you're good?
I'm good.
And in the Hennepin Ave, people are antagonized. True and deed. Why are they antagonized? Because these young guys do not know how to be black men. They do not know how to stand up to their full height. They do not know how to be humble. They do not know how to exude integrity. But they are not harmed. They are threatened. There's a big difference between being threatened and being harmed. There's a lot of threatening going on Hennepin Avenue, but nobody's being harmed.
It's a beautiful place to be. I love Minneapolis. I like partying downtown. A long, long time ago, I remember when graffiti used to be open.
Yeah.
It used to be like the best club in the world to come kick it with. And then they had the arcade right there on the corner of Hennepin.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Yeah. No. What was the name of the arcade?
It's Pop's Arcade.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Man. Oh, that's famous, man.
Famous.
Man, I just love it, man. We had a good time down here, man. What you did.
Pizza Luce's. Go get you a pizza. Get you a smile. And if you got a couple of dollars, you might get you something. For JJ.
It's free.
See you guys later.
Good night, man.
We'll see you. Be good.
We're gonna
see you.
All right, have a good night.
Good luck, man.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Can I ask you some questions?
Sure.
So what's all this stuff about Hennepin Avenue isn't safe anymore?
I'm not really sure.
I haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
But it's sketchy, I'll tell you that.
It is sketchy.
Bars.
A lot of bars.
A lot of strip clubs. Right up the light rail.
Don't really know what to
I've
do
never been hit or anything, but I'm also a white dude. He's kind of big.
You're a big guy.
So, I mean, if I was like a small woman, maybe. Maybe I'd...
Or old.
Or yeah. Old, yeah. For,
but it's awful calm tonight. There's no full moon because the crazy people come out. I don't know what I'm doing here because, you know... Yeah.
Yeah, no, it definitely is questionable, I guess, but I've never been
Depends
hit.
On what parts you're on, I'd say.
Yeah, like further that way, I'm sure is worse.
So what's the problem?
What
like,
mean?
Why is it sketchy? Is it just because it's always been that way, or?
I don't know. I don't. There's not really any neighborhoods around here, so I'm not really... Maybe, I don't know. Couldn't tell you, honestly.
You mentioned
people
the
get drunk,
rail.
Easy prey. That's
yeah, true.
Thing.
True
yeah.
That. Strip club bringing skeezy dudes off the light rail, so maybe it's like, I don't know.
But it's all good here.
Yeah, it's fine right here.
Yeah. Nothing really crazy happens.
See you later.
Thanks again to Ryan Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcasts for so long. Really, really appreciate it. Don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating for emergency service, because as I have said many, many times, when it comes to keeping all these systems operating, when it comes to emergency service, you want quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. You don't want it fixed half-assed. You want it fixed right. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, online at ryanplumbing.com. Call them in St. Paul at 651-224-4771, in Minneapolis 612-927-6488, ryanplumbing.com. Well, I'm getting ready to go to the big air show in Oshkosh. Really, it's amazing that we're almost at the end of July in podcast time, and I'll be there with Alpha Systems. I think they're in Building 3, but I'll tell you more about where they are specifically when we get there. If you're coming to Oshkosh, then visit Alpha Systems at the EAA Air Show. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, don't forget Alpha makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. The bottom line is you get a visual indicator, a very good visual indicator of how much lift your wing is producing. It's critical on takeoffs and landings. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator. It saves lives. Click on that banner at the top of the page at the Bob Davis Podcasts. And I'll see you at EAA. Thanks again to everybody for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts off the page, the audio stream at thebobdavispodcast.com, for listening to podcasts on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. You can subscribe to the feed from thebobdavispodcast.com or go to iTunes, just search for the Bob Davis Podcasts. Thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. And of course, thanks for your donations, because they are fueling Mobile Podcast Command for big trip to EAA and then later this summer to Sturgis. And perhaps one more thing. It depends on how many donations I get. I might go down to Tennessee for the big eclipse, the total eclipse of the sun on August 21st. More about that later. Thanks for listening to Podcast 648 down on Hennepin Avenue. I'm going home.
Walking.
I know it's around here, so.
Yeah, just keep walking. You're going to switch over to the other side of the street. You're going to have to stay on this street, and it's up
the left side. Much.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Good luck. Watch your ass. There's a destination a little up the road.
from the habitations of the towns we know. A place we saw the lights turn low. The jigsaw jazz in the get fresh flow. Pulling out jobs and jamboree handouts. Two turntables and a microphone. Bottles and cans and just clap your hands. Or just clap your hands.
Where's that?
Yourself up off the side of the road with the elevator poles and you with flash tones. Members only hypnotizers move through the room like ambulance drivers. Shine your shoes with your microphone booth.